Okay, firstly, Shkoyach to Shmuley Spergel for suggesting the idea. So we're going to start from Simon Taf Ayin Beis. We're going to go through Dine HaSeba and Arba Kosas to begin. Go through Hilchos the Seder. I'm not going to go through every Mishabura. I'm going to go through a lot of them. And those who have the Dirshu, I'm going to go through a lot of the Dirshu footnotes as well, not all of them. And I'm not sure how fast we'll go. But I hope to finish the next three, the first three simanim here. And the time allows, maybe we'll go through some Hagalas Kalim if need be. So the Mechaber begins in Simen Tuf Ayin Beis, Dine HaSeba V'Arba Kosos. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yehei Shulchano Aruch Mivod Yom, that the tables should be set already from Erev Pesach. And for very practical reasons, Kedei Le'echol Miyad Kishetechshach, so that we're prepared to eat right away when it gets dark, when we get home. And it says that the Mishabura writes in Sifkat and Aleph, what it means, Kedei Le'echol Miyad, that we should be able to eat immediately. Lav Dafka doesn't mean we have to eat immediately when we get home. Hakavana is, Kedei Shiyehe Efshalo Lahaschil Haseder Tekaf Mishetechshach V'lo Yishtaha. That you're really able to get, eat, not that you have to wait at all. So you have the decision. It's always frustrating if you get home and they have to start setting the table and get everything ready. So that at least the option is there. And then it's encouraged very much to start immediately. One reason is because reason makdim lo mitzvahs. We want to do a mitzvah as soon as possible. But really more importantly is we want the kids to stay up. And those who have kids, and certainly young kids, we don't want them to fall asleep before it's too late. So that's why we encourage them to everything be prepared. Very practical reasons. This is only the first day. Well, the second day you can't for practical reasons of Hachana. Exactly. Hachana, there'd be that Isser for only for the first night. Exactly. So they get some practical advice they say here. Just trying to find the footnote in the Dirshu. If you go to the Milum in 31, page 31. Page 32. You're looking for number 2. Number 2 we're looking for? Yeah, number 2. So the number 2, if those who have the Dirshu in the back, this is in the Milum, page number 32, footnote number 2. So it says that, again, very practical advice here, that the minhag of wearing a kittel, everything should be prepared beforehand. So when you get home to go up to your closet and take out your kittel, that's going to be a few extra seconds, maybe a few extra minutes. You might not have lights on, trying to make sure everything's prepared. The kittel should be prepared. All the different cups should be prepared on the Seder plate, the charoses and the maror, and then the karpas should all be prepared before. And this way, when you get home, you don't want to start waiting for your wife to cut everything and put everything together in order. And also have an idea which Seder you want to use, the Arizal, the Gra, the Ramah, the three different Seder plates we'll get to. So decide, don't start looking through whichever Haggadah you have, whatever Masorah you have. Decide beforehand and make sure that's set up before when you get home. Now, I know it's a concern that you want the maror to stay sharp still. So then put it in a bag, put it in a plastic bag. And those who are makpin on having the shiurim all measured out, if you weigh it or if you use a... So if you... Some families have everything marked out that this is a shiur kazayis and bag. So if you have that, measure that out before Shabbos. So really everything should be prepared. And when you get home, you're ready to go right into beginning the Seder. Now, of course, as we'll see, the Seder shouldn't begin until Tzeis HaKochavim. That's why we delay Shul. But by the time you get home from Shul, it really should be Tzeis HaKochavim. Fine.
This is a paper with place cards. Uh-huh. The place where people sit. That's usually
takes right. That too, you should write. Place cards is a very good idea as well, right? He brings it down back here? Very good. Okay. That makes sense. I think we have place cards in my family. Okay. The Mechaber says... Like the girls like it. So it becomes like a whole wedding for them. So the Mechaber writes, V'yaf imhu mibeis ha-medjish. If the guy's learning, I'm not sure what a guy's doing learning Seder night, but if a guy happens to be learning, so then Yochum, he should get up. He should get home and go home. Now's the time to go home. Mipnei shemitzvah lemaher v'lechol b'shvila tinokol shelo yishnu. We want to make sure to get home quickly and eat to ensure that the children don't go to sleep. Aval, as I mentioned before, lo yomar kiddush ad shetechshach. You are not allowed to say kiddush. You can, but you're not going to be yotze until dark, until Tzeis HaKochavim. So if you look down in the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Dalet, he says, aval lo yomar kiddush. A person shouldn't say kiddush before Tzeis. Rod Salomar, what he means is, de lo tema, don't say, kevan shemitzvah lemaher. Since a person wants to be really quick in doing the mitzvahs, yaschil kiddush v'agada v'bodio. Maybe you'd think you should be in kiddush and begin hagada before nightfall. Kemo shematzino b'shabbos v'yom tov. That yachol, sheyachol lahosif Mechol al HaKodesh. Normally, you are allowed to begin Shabbos, and we do begin Shabbos and Yom Tov earlier. And you could say Kiddush earlier, and Lechol Mibod Yom. You could do all those things earlier. Now, Kiddush, certainly your Yotzeh when it comes to Shabbos. As a side point, there is a Machlokas, Rishonim, and Poskim. What about the Lecha Mishnah? So some are Makbid to make sure to have, even though you can say Hamotzi prior to Tzeis, there are those who are makbid to have another kazayis of bread after Tzeis HaKochavim. It's a very hard thing to do. Those who want to try in the summer when you make early Shabbos, having a challah when you're done eating at dessert time, it's very, very hard of Oda to do. Very hard. So I know people do it. I've tried it. I can't do it.
Is that even considered a
challah? It could be, depending who you are. To me, it's not. I've tried. I can't do it. It's very hard having challah after that. But those who are makbid, such an Indian exists.
Sometimes it's in the summer.
That's what I said. The chal until the summer. Yeah.
No, I'm saying, but even when you finish your suda, it's too early. It's not.
Right. Maybe. Yeah, again, it only works after tzeis hakochavim. Fine. So then, kanal b'simen reish shamach zayin. Kamash Milan, so although that's all allowed, you could eat bread and have kiddush early Shabbos and Yom Tov. When it comes to Pesach, kamash Milan, dilagabe Pesach ain't okay. Why? Why can I eat matzah before? Why can I make kiddush and haggadah before tzeis? Lefi she'achilas matzah hukshar lePesach. There's a hekesh of the eating of matzah to the carbon Pesach. And shenemar, it says, al matzah sumrom yochlu. You eat the matzah and maror along with the carbon Pesach. So that's the hekesh. And the halacha is, based on the pasuk, u'pesach ein nechal ela belayla. Pesach can only take place at nighttime. But Kaddish Baruch Hu, rather, Kiddush rather, Tzarech Lios Bishah Haruya L'matzah. So Kiddush, because Ain Kiddush Ella B'makom Suda. So since the Suda Matzah takes place at Balayla, Kiddush also must take place Balayla. So that's why everything must take place Balayla, because again, the Karim Pesach, which is the center of the entire Seder. If you look at the Netziv's Haggadah, he explains the entire Seder, every aspect of it is all about the Karban Pesach. So Karban Pesach is the focus of the Seder. So that means the matzah is also, like the Karban Pesach, is Balayla. And so too, the Kiddush is Balayla. V'od. Moreover, he says, D'chos shakiddush hu echad me'arba kosos. Kiddush is one of the four cups of wine. V'kulu basar haggadah u'matzah u'mar grere. And they all follow the Haggadah. So there's some lumness. I don't want to get involved. Those who know the Brisker Rav, the connection of Dal Kosos, if they're separate, if they're part of the different mitzvahs, he's getting at some lumness here. But what he's saying very simply is that the Dal Kosos are supposed to be spread throughout the Haggadah, and they're attached to the Haggadah. So therefore, since the Haggadah needs to take place after Laila, after Techshach, so to all Dal Kosos, including Kiddush, have to be after Tzeis HaKochav. So that's the din. You need to wait till Tzeis, but once Tzeis comes, you should immediately begin. So then the Mechaber writes in Sif Dal, Sif Beis on top. Yisadir shulchanu yafe bekelim nam kifi kochel. Person should make a beautiful table, the nicest plates and utensils that he has. And v'yachin makom mashavo sheyeshi baseba der cheres. And he should prepare his seat in a way of cheres. Even an ani who may not have any pillows, but he has some type of couch or chair or bed or whatever it is, even though there might not be pillows, he should also do the best that he can do. So this too as well, the post can point out, should be prepared before Pesach. I remember growing up, not to say anything bad about my parents, chas v'shalom, but when we get home from shul, we all go upstairs and get pillows, find the blankets, not blankets, pillows I guess, and adjust our chairs. But really, everything should be prepared before you go to shul, so that when you get home, everything's ready with all the pillows. So let's talk about what does it mean, how to do haseba properly. It's not very easy to accomplish haseba. So look what the first in Sifkat and Vav in the Mishnah Berura. Bekelim na'im, v'yafa gav de'b'chol hashana tov lema'it, b'zeh mishum zeich l'chur. In the rest of the year, we're always trying to minimize how free we are. We're trying to remember the destruction of the base of Mikdash. We shouldn't be so comfortable. But Bilel Pesach, Mitzvah Laharbos, there's an idea to increase such an inyan of Cheres. Shezehu Bichlal Der Cheres. The way when one leans over, leans down, that's a display of Cheres. That's the whole idea of the night. And what the Machlokes, they point out in the footnote here in the Dirshu, the Gra writes, this is Mamish Cheres, as opposed to just Zeichel Cheres. So some say that what we're doing leaning over is remembering what they did back then. And others say, no, leaning over right now is the way we could express Cheres in this world, this current world. If you go to see how all the kings sit and eat, probably only the Middle Eastern areas, they probably lean when they eat. So it's Cheres right now, as opposed to saying it's Zecher, what they had used to been doing, how they used to express their level of Cheres, which also is a big Chakira in the poskim. We're not going to get so involved in that. So there's an idea of Cheres, as we know, expressing the freedom that we have, that we received from Gulas Mitzrayim. The Amru ala Maharil said about the Maharil, Kishahayu biyado mashkonel shel nachrim, kelim noim. I don't know how frequently this happened, but if he was watching some neighbor who was non-Jewish, a non-Jewish neighbor is kelim, very nice kelim, he gave him some nice, I don't know, plates and cups or whatever, a thing that were no issues of kashrus also, or it could be just tablecloths or pillows. Lohaya mishamish bem bishim pam. He would never use them. But you're watching someone's objects, you don't use their objects. Rak bepesach hayam minhago lohasim osam al shulchan miyucha lismach b'riyasam. But if he had them on Pesach, he would display them on the table, some nice gold and silver, whatever they were. He'd display them to show the Cheres. Now, I'm not sure it was Dafka because it was the non-Jews, or just it was very pretty. He had very pretty decorations to be used for the Seder. So that's what he apparently the Ma'aril used to do. But there's an idea. The idea is that there should be Kalim Naim at the Seder. So now the Mishabur writes in Sifkatan. Okay, boy. Whatever they, if they did or they didn't have, if he did have the goyims, he would show the goyims as well. Finally, Mishabu writes in Sifkat and Vav, Sheyesh Behaseba, a person should sit Behaseba, and says the Mishabuah that Rotaloma. What that means is Rosho Muta. Now this is going to be very technical, but very important how to accomplish Haseba. Rosho Muta Litadsmo. That the head only, the Mishabruah, those who are Madaik, only the head has to be turned over like that, nothing else. A little awkward, but that's a literal reading of the Mishabruah. Rosh Emuta, Latad Smol, Al Hamita, Al Safsal, on a bed or a couch, Bikaram Tachas Rosh, and now you have a pillow below your head. That's how they would eat. Eitzal Shulchan, next to the Shulchan. So let's get a little bit of a clarification of this idea of leaning. So those who have the Deer Shoe, so the footnote number 11, he explains that when it says the head, it means that shavadei shebenosav lahatias haros tarch gam lahatias haguf. You have to have the whole body lean. Because this alone, that's really strange. No, that's not a fun way to spend any cheres like that. So the whole body leans. So the body and rosh is there. How much are you supposed to lean to really show cheres? So he says that the chiddush, the reason why the Mishabruah says the head only, is because for the Mishabruah's pashut, you're leaning and the body's leaning. And there's a pillow by the body. The chiddush of the Mishabruah is that also by the head there should be a pillow as well. That's what the Mishabruah is telling. You might think just lean like that, like we on our chairs. We don't lean our head on the back of the chair. We lean our back is on the back of the chair, but our head is still loose. The idea is that when we lean to the side, our head should also be leaning on something in addition to the body. That's what it's brought down in the poskim here. So, sorry? Yeah, so we're going to get to the end of this footnote still. So then he says, this is what many write, the Rabbi Yashiv said as well, is that you need the body and the head to lean. So ad kama yata gufa, how much are you supposed to lean? So they quote Rabbi Yashiv, he apparently had said, and a little bit, not too much. You don't want to, you don't feel like you're not sitting anymore. You don't want to be lying down. But slightly to the left where you feel like you're still sitting comfortably, which it doesn't have any degrees here, but he says a little bit. Correct. When they act, but has no. So we'll see in a second the Ber Halacha. If it gets to the point where it's no longer comfortable, it's really awkward, then you're completely potter. So it has to be some point where it's still comfortable for us, yet somehow is a display of cheres of what they did back then. We can't really eat on couches like they did and being fed like grapes. That we can't accomplish anymore. We can, but it wouldn't be very comfortable for us. Not fully. That's not fully. Right, so that's an aid to how to accomplish that. I mean, a chair like this, where the pillow's not going, the only way it works is doing like this. Like this, you have no place for the pillow, you're going to fall over. So the aid to that they say, what Mike is suggesting is what the post can say, if you put your chair like this, and then put a pillow like that, the only problem with this is there's no place for your head to go. So if you have a high chair, that's accomplished. So then you have to start going like this. And I've got brother-in-laws who try to do this. They go like this. It's really weird. And it's not so comfortable. So you kind of do the best you can in this in these guidelines. But what Rav Yashiv says is a little slant is enough. That's all. But then he quotes further in this footnote, he quotes from the Tshuvas Or Letzion that he gives a sheer 45 degree angle. That's his sheer 45 degree angle. That's a hard thing also to accomplish.
That's pretty far.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's halfway.
Yeah.
That's
halfway, yeah, I know. So it's like the chairs don't go that way unless you have one of those like leaning chairs back. So I don't know how you go like that. Maybe you could go on all the back two legs of it maybe to do it.
I tried that growing up.
Yeah.
I was in favor.
That doesn't mean anything, though. My mother wasn't in favor of a lot of things that I did either growing up. But, so... Not sure. So this is the idea. So it seems from the simple way what we practice is, I think what Rav Yashiv suggests is lean a little bit, whereby you're still comfortable, but you're still showing that element of cheiris where you're leaning to the left. The hardest thing is really getting the head under the pillow. That's the hardest, because our chairs, for the most part, are not elevated that high.
A travel pillow.
I guess you could do that. I guess you could do that. Yeah.
This is for everyone, because sometimes some women don't lean at
right.
All.
So we're gonna get to the mystery. The Mechara. We'll talk about women. Very good.
Thanks.
Okay. Now he says here in the number 12 in the footnote, those who have it inside. Let's say you lean on the hands of the chair, the armrests. Is that going to work? And they say that. If you put a pillow on top of the armrests, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yashiv, that would work as well. Now, I'm not sure how you're getting the head. Obviously, the head's not going to be high enough.
But imagine there's an armrest here. I'm not going to sit in that chair there. But let's say you put a pillow over the armrest, so you're going to at least get the lower half of your body on the pillow, but the upper half won't get there. So it really seems the best. What Mike was saying is to turn the chair around where the back of your chair is really on your left.
Your chair has like a... Cushion, like, you know, sort of...
Cushioned armrest.
That doesn't count as a pillow?
It's a good question. I've never seen that. Everyone talks about having an additional pillow. I never saw anyone address that. Even though it is cushioned, I'm not sure. From what I've seen, it seems that it doesn't qualify. Okay. Now, okay, fine. Let's... Now, what are those swivel chairs? They talk about here. They said, the poskim say here that the swivel chairs, does that work? So it says, if you could lean down to your left side, and then you could stick your hand out of some sort, it works. But again, it all depends on could you lean to the left side or not. That's what it comes down to. If it's just a swivel chair, you're sitting regularly, and it only goes back, but doesn't lean to the left, that's not going to really help. Leaning back is not what it... It's leaning to the left. So I think most swivel chairs do not lean to the left. Okay.
And if it is a special thing to have a pillow, like what if you have a chair, like a cushion?
Yeah, that's what he was asking. It's quoting a Rashi on Psachim, this is from Mishabura, I think it's quoting a Rashi on Psachim, he uses a karim, he says, have pillows. That's not called a pillow. A cushion is not called a pillow. So just based on the little reading here, it seems that a cushion would not qualify. Fine, let's go a little further now. We are now Sif Gimel. Oh, maybe we should stop here. Yeah? We'll stop.
Okay.
One more? Okay, one more, fine. Sif Gimel. The Mechaber writes, Kishu Mesiv lo yita yate al gabo v'lo apanav. You shouldn't lean back. You shouldn't lean forward. V'lo yamino, not on your right side. El al smolo, you should lean on your left side. V'ein chilek bein itilach. It doesn't make a difference if you're a righty or lefty. Even a lefty, even though it's uncomfortable for him to lean on his left side and eating with his right hand, even he has to lean on his left hand. And the reason is, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, in Sif Katan Yud, v'lo ayumino, you can't lean on your right side, d'lo shmei aseba, that's not called leaning. Kevin shetzarech lecha b'yumino, if I'm a righty, and I assume 80% of people here are righties probably, so you can't really get your right hand if you're leaning on your right hand, it's not going to be comfortable eating, so your left hand, so you're not so comfortable doing that either, so you have to lean onto your left. This is based on the Gemara. Yesh is another reason why you have to lean to the left. Is the Shema Yaktim Kanelavesha, because it might go down the wrong pipe, the food. And the Veshet Hu Betzad Yamin, the Veshet's on the right side, and that's the windpipe. If you lean to the right, Niftacha Kova Shal Piakana, the windpipe is going to open up, at least the top of the windpipe, and Me'ilav on its own. That's just what happens naturally, apparently. The food's going to go down and lead to a danger. Now, I'm not getting involved in biology, whether that's true or not true. But this is what the Gemara says, and we assume what the Gemara says is correct. Fine. Sif Katan Yud Alf. Vein Chilek, there is no difference, he says, whether it's a lefty or righty. Rotsa Lomar,
The gam itir tzarech laasev al smol kol adam. Even the lefty has to lean on his left side, even though it's uncomfortable. V'afagav du ochel tamid b'smol. Even though he normally eats with his left hand, that his left hand is pretty much stuck when he leans over. Tough luck. V'imkein letam rishon hayat tzarech laasev al yimino. But according to the first reason, it's about what's more comfortable for you. So lefty should be able to lean on the right side. But mikol makom, nonetheless, ein lechak, we don't distinguish between a righty and a lefty. Because mipnei tam asheni, the second reason, shema yaktim kana leveshe. We don't want chas v'sham, the food to go down to the windpipe. The high time adif, and that's a greater reason, lan mishum dehave sakanta, that's dangerous. The chamira sakanta misura, and the klal, the gemara, and chulin tells us in many other places that when it comes to danger, that overrides any other isurim, so we make even the lefty lean to the right. The yochel also hapam biyamin kol adam, and he should learn to use his right hand. He's leaning on his left hand, and even though his left hand is no longer usable, he should train himself for that to one, two nights a year, use his right hand. Ubidiyeved though, im hesiv al tzad yamim yatsa. If he does, the lefty, that is, not a righty, the lefty leans on his right side, bidiyeved, he's okay. Why? Because the yamim shelo harehu kismol kol adam. Because his right hand is really the same as anyone else's left hand. So if he does, if a lefty does lean to his right, bidiyeved, he fulfilled the mitzvah of haseba. Now I'm not going to go through the berlach here, but the berlach talks about if someone is not able to use his right hand. He's got an injury or whatever the issue might be. So for him, he's pater from haseba, because the whole idea, if he has to now, chayr is meant to be comfortable. If for you, sitting like this is uncomfortable and you can't use your right hand, so now you're stuck, so then that's not considered chayr, and therefore you are pater. So that gets into the whole svara of if we're uncomfortable sitting, if we can't get a good way of leaning in the chair and the pillow. So b'di'evit, if a person does not do a seba, there's a good reason to not require a person to go ahead and do it, because in the end of the day, it's not so comfortable for us anyways. But Mir Tashem, tomorrow we're to go through greater details of whether l'maisa, bizman hazeh, we actually have to do haseba. Okay, we'll daven l'arav.